What's up, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite podcast on planet Earth. It's the Anything Better podcast, guys, with Paul Verzi, Bill Burr, our producer out there in Beverly Hills, Andrew Themlis, the Greek Freak, and you guys today are listening to episode 44, or as they say in Spanish, cuatro, cuatro? I don't know. I don't think that that's how they say it. Bill, what 44s do we have?
44 en français. Greatest 44s of all time. You got to go Hammer and Hank Aaron.
Huge.
You got to go Reggie Jackson, the straw that stirs the drink. John Riggins, my personal favorite, an old cowboy back in the day. Robert Newhouse, blocking for the great Tony Dorsett. It was 4-4, blocking for 3-3. Who else do I have? Pistol Pete Maravich.
That's a great one.
Slapping the ball all over the place with his sloppy, his floppy socks.
And the logo.
No, he's not the logo, is he?
No.
The NBA?
No, Jerry West is the logo.
Jerry West was 44?
Is that right, Andrew? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was him dribbling up the court to lose to the Celtics yet again in the finals. A lot of people don't know that. And then who else? Danny Ainge, speaking of a Celtic. Solid player, a great GM. And there you go. Those are the 44s in sport that we know. Episode 44.
Episode 44.
It's all going to end with Wayne Gretzky. You realize that. Then it's where do we go? Episode 100?
Yeah.
You got to go 00, Robert Parrish, Jim Otto.
Yeah, because we never started with zero. So the last one, you know who else I think was was it
Gilbert Jason or Williams is zero?
Yeah, I think somebody did wear 00, but somebody said to me, somebody goes, dude, what are you guys going to do after 99? And I go, we'll just do like the 100th thing that's happened, the greatest 100th thing that's happened. That's what we do on the show. We adapt to something else cool. I got to tell you something. I was sitting in my house last night, jumping off my couch. I'm going, oh, my wife is shopping for Christmas online. I'm sitting on the couch. My dog is looking at me. My New York Knicks go into that rat house in Brooklyn, that fucking rat infested, that disgusting place.
They all flipped.
Yeah, they all flipped.
All those are all Knicks fans that flipped.
I don't know.
The witness protection program inside that fucking arena.
You may fold under questioning.
Bunch of Henry Hills sitting in the fucking crowd.
It was literally one of the best basketball games I've ever seen. Reggie Miller's calling the game going. He literally took himself out of being a professional. And he just goes, oh my God, this is awesome. I missed this. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Whoever had the ball last, the Knicks end up losing a heartbreaker. Bad foul call, 112 to 110. But I will tell you people this. I would rather take my young, scrappy, defensive playing New York Knicks team than that pile on bunch of baby fucking rats who have Hall of Famers who complain out there. God, I love the Knicks. God, I love the Knicks.
There you go. I can't argue with that.
No.
I'm trying to think of a world where another team comes into Boston and, you know, into Cambridge. You know, the Cambridge cocksuckers, right? And then everybody's going to fucking jump on them and not be Celtic fans anymore. I don't know. I don't know, Paul. It's a weird one. That's a weird one to me.
That's actually a great point you just made. What do you do if a new team comes into Massachusetts and one of your family members or close friends goes, dude, I'm just jumping ship. We don't know what we're doing there. I love these new colors. It's like, it's sickening. It's fucking sickening.
Yeah, but you know what the advantage is you get to see who people are. These people that you thought, you know, were all right. You're like, oh, so that's all it took.
Yeah.
Now, in defense, if you're a really old Nets fan, I can go with that because they were originally the New York Nets with Dr. J. Julius Erving.
Yeah. When me and you saw that old man who walked up to the foul line and did this, remember? And then he would go like this.
Oh, yeah.
It was him and his wife, and they gave him a jersey, and he would go like this. And then when the guy would make it, he'd go.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the few things I enjoyed about being in that that stadium. Paul, I got to tell you something, Paul. I got to tell you this fucking right now. My Christmas shopping is done and all the gifts are wrapped.
What?
I already have a tree. I bought a little spray bottle. I spritzed it. I got the water in. I got the little thing in there to keep the thing alive. I'm done, dude. I got some knickknacks here or there. I got stocking stuffers left, Paul. I'm dotting all the I's. I'm crossing all the T's.
Billy's going to have his
freckled feet up, drinking eggnog and smoking a stick as everybody else runs around. Oh, my God, I got to do this. Oh, my God, I got to do that. Well, you should have planned earlier. Should have been like me, Paul. This year, yeah. I decided to be a role model of the holidays.
I think you got all your T's crossed your eyes. You're seeing the NFL good. December 1st, there's no Christmas shopping. I'm sure the dishes are done. I mean, you're on your game. The kid is on his game.
Not only the dishes done, Paul, I checked the butter thing to make sure if we don't have any butter, I take one out. So the next morning, if I make pancakes or I make some toast, that is spreadable butter.
Nice. It's not a hard, yeah.
Yep. I went by the hardware store. I got a little countertop thing to wipe it off so it stays so fresh and so clean. Like Andre 3000 used to say, right? So fresh and so clean. Was that with them?
Outcast? Well, yeah. Well, my room is a mess. Okay. My room is a mess. I have no shopping done yet. But guess what? Paulie's got his last show tomorrow night at a casino in Pennsylvania. And then the kid's not working till January.
I blew it.
That's the shit right there, buddy.
I'm going to tell you, everybody listening, if you really want to know how to live your life, Paul Verzi is the man to go to. Paul understands. Paul texted me happy Thanksgiving on Wednesday night and said, don't text me tomorrow because I'm going to have my phone off because I'm not a fucking animal. The man just understands. I sat there all day. There, happy Thanksgiving to you too. Dad, what? Hang on. Happy Thanksgiving to you too.
Yeah.
Bless you and your family also. We have to get together. So Paul said happy Thanksgiving to the people he needed to say happy Thanksgiving to and then shut his phone off.
The way you just said you see who people are when a new team comes and they jump ship, it's the same thing during holidays and important times. You want to see a fucking people that are like this when their kid is tugging on them saying, like, come play with me? No, can't do it.
Okay,
can't do it.
So you're calling me a bad father. I get it. You know what I don't like? I don't like the fucking happy Thanksgiving exclamation point. It's like, do I really have to fucking respond to that? There's nothing personal in there. How do I know you just didn't send it to, like, send?
Yeah.
And then the fake excitement. Happy Thanksgiving! So you get credit because of the exclamation point. If that's a mass text, you should not be able to use any other punctuation other than a period. Don't pretend like you're so excited for me and my fucking happy Thanksgiving when you're really, I'm in the way. You're getting me out of the way. Next year, I'm doing what you're doing. I'm telling everybody, happy Thanksgiving. I'm shutting my phone off and I'm shutting the phone off.
I didn't text anybody because after Paul sent us that, I was like, well, I'm not texting anybody tomorrow. I didn't text anybody. I was like, thanks, Paul.
All I did sometimes is I had to check, you know, when I was sitting watching the Lions, I looked at the fantasy score, put it down, but I threw the football with my son. I'm not a fucking animal. Not an animal, dude. Fuck that.
You know what? On top of all of that, you're reasonable.
I mean, we've known that.
And you are not impressed by any bridge unless it has an overhang to let you know.
Yeah. I don't like those
Paul is a suspension bridge. Don't come at me with you just, you know, one side of the bank to the other.
No. Yeah.
What about a bridge, Paul, that is not a suspension bridge, but if you jumped off it, you could still die?
It's like make an impression. If you're a bridger in tunnel, make an impression. That's all. I want to feel it.
What do you look for in a tunnel?
Dude, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated by bridges and tunnels, but I'm not going to lie. When I'm halfway through a tunnel in gridlock, I start to panic. I start to picture fucking water shooting through a tile and then everybody out of their cars running in a panic and getting trampled and drowning to death. I know that's weird, but
that's not what you do, though.
What do you mean?
You run towards the water and you do a big inhale and you get it over with quick. You run at that water like it's fourth and goal, and you know you don't have an offensive line, and you just fucking end it.
I thought you had something really to say. Like, no, you got to go towards it. I thought it was a strategy.
Dude, I guarantee you there's somebody who's so fucking claustrophobic and every day driving through the fucking the Lincoln Tunnel. What's to stop you from bringing a whole scuba suit and just having it in your back with the tank, the whole fucking thing? Can you imagine swimming out and all these bodies just
push
them out of the way?
Wow, that's like doomsday prepper shit,
dude. And then you got, then you have the rights to the movie.
Yeah. Oh my god, dude.
And then they do the thing to your fingertips, and they find out you have explosive residue on you, and then they find out that you're the one that detonated the shit to make the, because you had a hero fantasy.
Dude.
Paul, we're writing for Lifetime right now. All we need to do is make a woman be the person that catches the guy doing it.
Dude, first of all, going back to the other thing, I want to make this clear.
Don't tell me. Don't.
Never, ever wish me happy birthday by texting me HBD. You might as well say, I take that as you don't give up. I'd rather you not say it than just text me HBD.
What if they're driving and their kids and they're risking their kids' lives? So that's all they can do before they rear end that semi.
Then I need the follow-up text explaining that.
You need a video.
No. I need the follow-up text going, hey, dude, the only reason why I did HBD, I was in it with the kids. I just didn't want you to think I forgot. That's a nice, but the people that just do that, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to fucking hear from you.
Yeah.
It means you don't care.
It's hitting off, I got the ladies' tease. You're getting credit for going the full distance, and you know that it's bullshit.
I got something for you too that's gonna fucking blow your fucking minds, dude. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And I literally just thought of it now. I go out to dinner last night with my wife and two kids. Okay. And we're sitting down, and Stacy starts telling a story. Now, I wasn't being rude, but my kids were acting up. So as I'm trying to tell my kids to chill, dad, could I have your phone? She's trying to tell me the story. So then I wasn't paying attention fully. And I just go, wait, what happened? She goes, forget it, dude. You're not listening. And I go, no, I'm sorry. And in my mind, I'm like, this better be a good story. Okay. Cause I'm just in a mood. Right. She tells me that she went to school with somebody in elementary school that she recently reconnected with. And the husband of this woman that she went to elementary school with was a guy who was a two-time felon. And there's a podcast out about it, and now they might make a movie. The reason I thought of this is because you said movie rights. So in the state of California, I believe, if you go three-time felony and it's something, you go to jail, they fucking throw away. If depending on what it is, if it's armed robbery or if it's a robbery felony in the state of California, if it's three times, you go away for a really, really fucking long time, like life. Him and a buddy decided to rob another house when he had this shit on the line. This is fucking fascinating. And the guy who lives in the house leaves, and they see through the crack of the door a safe. And the guy leaves, and the fucking husband goes in, and they steal the fucking safe, but they just take the whole safe and they get it out of the fucking house.
Well, you have they it bolted to the floor. You buy a safe big enough that you can't carry out. Go ahead.
They open the fucking safe, and in it, they find diapers, some that are wet, some that are dry. They find lubricants. They find a hard drive, and it's tons and tons of disgusting child baby porn. And the guy decides, I have to wrap myself out to put this fucking monster away, even though it's my third fucking felony, because I can't have this guy there. So he fucking sends it in. And they fucking, and they're trying to do a plea with him, but because it's a felony, but then there was another guy with him, dude. And I think the guy ended up doing like 14 years or something. Stacy said she's halfway through the podcast. They're trying to get movie rights, but this guy opened this safe and saw a fucking monster, dude. Saw something that's out there in the world that just needs to be fucking stopped, and did that. And I was just
hey, I knew I was fucked up, but gee, this guy. This guy's crossing lines.
Court, like, judge, what are we doing here, judge? I mean, so I guess the point of the
story is. I didn't rape his daughter.
Stacy's story got real good.
I didn't spit in his fat face. I took money, Charlie, fucking money.
That's good. So Stacy's story got good.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Dude, that's like, that is movie shit. Like, if you saw that in a movie, you'd go, nah, that would never. Like, that's crazy, dude.
He couldn't have dropped it off anonymously?
That's what I was thinking.
But no, but you need the evidence. You got to be like, listen, I took this out of his place and this was, oh, wow.
I thought like, can't you drop it off with a letter? But no, you gotta be like, look, we ran into the fucking house and then they look you up and then you're fucked. But good on that guy.
Can you imagine that guy, that fucking creep, when he came home and his safe was gone? Oh, boy.
No, he called. He actually, Stacy said in the podcast, he called up saying some things were taken of mine. He was like so freaked out that he called to get, because he figured he could just get his safe back. So he called and like, so he kind of took part in it too.
Oh, gee, I would have been like, that's not my shit. I've never seen that before in my life. Excuse me. I'm going to go have sex with an adult.
Yeah. And it's like how, yeah, I mean, that's like, who holds that? I mean, that's
wow.
Just, yeah, dude. But that makes you think, what else is out there, man? That makes you think, what else is out there? The fucking evil that lurks. It actually made me feel better about anything bad in my family.
Why can't evil hang out, Paul?
What?
Why does evil have to lurk? Come on, if it's so bad, man, why don't you come out in the open, man? Stop lurking.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how to follow up. He caught a pedophile. I mean, you've taken this podcast in a direction, Paul. Now we're on our way. Now we're talking evil. I got something for you. I was thinking this the other day, like, you know, this mixed martial arts stuff, Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, if you walk in there and you have hands and feet and a head, they're going to teach you how to do it. Why don't they do any sort of background check? Like, there should be like a fucking thing. Like, you know, they got that app you can find your cell phone. They should have like that for a sociopath. Or a fucking predator or a toxic person. Why would you teach him that shit? Because you know what I mean?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, all right, I'm going to learn self-defense and all that fucking shit. Well, what's stopping the lunatic from learning it too? I mean, they'll teach it to anybody. Those fucking whores down there at the dojos.
It's hard to find out a sociopath, though, because they're so good at manipulating. You know, that's...
Yeah, for you or I.
That's true.
But experts? Come on. Paul, wait a minute. You're pretty good at reading people.
Yeah, I mean, a sociopath, it's hard to... I know a couple sociopaths that they kind of came under the radar, okay? No, there's a couple people that came under the radar because they...
Yeah,
come
but were they sociopaths or they were just like selfish people that put up a front?
What's your definition? Let's do this. Andrew, you could get in on this too because I don't know what the difference between somebody that is unbelievably narcissistic and self-involved versus a sociopath, because I've tried.
I don't think a narcissistic person could actually like, you know, watch something. Yeah, watch something terrible happening, and have no feeling for it. Like past a certain level, like narcissists, they don't see ever that they're wrong or whatever, and in their not seeing it, usually continue the pain with whoever they're with. But I would think like a sociopath is like, who is that? Somebody the Terrible, one of these guys. He used to do this fucking thing where they,
Ivan?
This horrible torture. Ivan the Terrible, I think.
Yeah.
So they would have this thing. They would have literally this thing that had like a point on it. They fucking make you sit on it and eventually it would just work its way right up through your body and it would come out your mouth. Just agonizing death that took forever. He was known for doing it. And he went to meet with this guy and they had a whole field of people sitting there in moaning and dying in this thing. And he just sat there eating fucking lunch with this guy. That's a fucking sociopath.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
now a narcissist just wants to get credit. Like, hey, that was my idea to put everybody on those things. And and I feel like that torture device should be named after me. I don't know, Paul. This is beyond my pay grade.
All right. Well, here, how about this? We'll take
Bill,
this.
You were right. I mean, you summed it up.
Really? Well, thank you, yeah. Dr. Themelis.
Well, I read. I mean, I had to. You know,
you
I got
concurred.
I got a computer over here.
Are a sociopath.
Oh, by the way, Dr. Phil.
You
never
need to stop torturing people by ripping up their rectums.
Am I right?
Am I right?
Yeah, he never got a divorce.
Let me ask you this. If two tadpoles want to become frogs and there's only one puddle. Sorry. I don't know where to go with that.
Everybody pointed out he did not get a divorce, by the way. That wasn't true.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
I thought he was going through a divorce.
Oh, I thought he was going
through. I found no articles. Everything just said that he was married. It was just all about his ex-wife.
Good. So he kept his house. All right, Philly, good for you.
He probably paid her to stick around. You will ruin everything. Dude,
I have the money to make you disappear.
You are fucking things up.
Our house is so big, I could just say you're in another part.
Dude. KFC from KFC Radio Barstool had the funniest fucking rant, and I'm giving him all the credit. This is not something on anything better, but dude, I just lose it. He goes, how in the United States are we not talking about the Joe Biden farting with the royal family? Dude, apparently Joe Biden went and met with Prince Charles and Camilla, and they were at the climate change summit. And he fucking ripped ass in front of Camilla. And they said she's not stopping talking about
Camilla or Kamala.
It's Camilla.
Camilla.
And yeah. And like,
dude,
apparently
so out of the fucking loop
all over the news in Britain. Like, not only did she find it funny, she's just like, dude, this guy fucking pissed me shit himself. And in the US, they're not even saying this. Dude, I was fucking crying. Cause apparently he had that incident at the Vatican with the Pope.
Where he had to change,
he like sharded like with the Pope and he had to change his suit.
What?
Yeah, dude, it's real shit. Like, and like they saw that. Like,
oh my God.
Joey B is having a rough go, but the kid's like farting shit in his pants, dude. I was fucking crying.
Dude, if you're just walking around shitting yourself, listen. We really have a bad way that we treat old people in this country. Like they don't have any knowledge left. But if, you know, you're stammering through speeches and you're shitting yourself, I think it's time to give it over to Camilla.
Well, in fairness, the shitting himself.
Kamala.
The shitting themselves.
It was Kamala, right?
No, Kamala Harris. Camilla is Prince Charles's, the one that he looked.
Camilla's.
Oh, all right. That's where I got confused. Yeah. I don't watch Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on.
They said that obviously they can't prove the sharding, but they have good reason to believe that he had an incident at the Vatican and had to change suits. But the fart in the royal family apparently was heard. Dude, Joe Biden.
He's losing control of his faculty. Faculties, is that what you say?
Is it faculties?
I don't know. My fellow Americans. It is time to tighten the belt.
Dude, I said it on my special, in my new special. The way you have to be 35 to be president, you should not be president of the United States of America after 65. I don't care. That should just be that window, dude. You have that 30-year window. And if your second term happens to overlap and get you to 69 or 70, fine. But
if you shit yourself, I don't care what age you are.
If you shit yourself after that term, it's over if it's your first. Dude, shitting yourself with the Pope? I mean, dude, it's like another thing.
Dude, those guys are murderers over there. You know, I was saying this the other day. You know, remember when Sinead O'Connor got all in trouble for tearing up that fucking Pope picture?
Yeah.
She turned out she was right.
Yeah, you know, what was it? I don't even know. What was her reason?
I don't fucking know. She's crazy. You know, as bald people, we don't know what the fuck we're talking about. We just start going up. She was like, fight the real enemy. She went, nyan. And everybody's just like, hey, that's the Catholic Church. Blah, 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 blah. Then you find out years later they were out there fucking raping kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can come back around and Monica Lewinsky's a victim, I mean, what the fuck? We can't bring her back?
Go write a book. That was that Chappelle thing. You're so powerful. Somebody sucks your dick. You get to write a book. You write a book about it. Let's go be somebody. Oh, man.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't hear that one.
The evil that lurks in the world is horrible. That's why I stay in the woods with my family.
I don't know. What do you think? Oh, Paul. Dude, you live up in jerk off country.
What do you mean?
There's dads running through the woods in their underwear, jerking off to your curtains and all of that. Oh, yeah. Those suburban guys.
No, but I'm not even in the suburbs. I'm in the country, man.
That's what I mean. Oh, stop. You're not in the country.
This is pretty far, dude. I'm in the woods, man.
You're not in the country. Like, I'm going to go in town, get some provisions.
Oh, you mean like
Quakers driving down the street in their little fucking horse and buggies?
No. No. Lancaster, PA.
Yeah, you're always up there going, dude, I got acres. I got acres up here. You live on like an acre, I think.
A little
Which
more
is amazing.
I have a little more than an acre. I have like an acre and a quarter or whatever. Yeah. Some people up here have like fucking 80 acres, but I'm not in the backwoods.
Bankers, like retired gangsters.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit that goes on up there, Paul.
I'm sure.
There's a lot of stories behind some of those homes up there.
I'm sure there are a lot of billions.
There are out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, the whole Hollywood Hills is full of people that stole credit. Not all of them, but there's a lot. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people living in the valley looking up at a house that they should have been living in.
All right, everybody. It is Manscaped. That's right. It's the holiday season, and you don't know what you get as a gift. Or a stock, and you don't know what to give as a gift or stocking stuffer. Well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has the tools to guarantee you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Okay, Manscaped is the leader in men's below the waist grooming, and they have served more than 4 million men worldwide. If my math is correct, that's almost...
Yeah, you got a bustle in your hedgerow, as Robert Plant used to say. You want to get the Manscaped.
Yeah. And according to... If the math is correct, that's almost 8 million balls. 8 million balls have been...
That's amazing.
I've
seen the light of day since they were... First time since they were 15 or 16 years old. 14, well, I don't know. They put all these hormones in. When do kids hit puberty now? Like 9?
Oh, dude, it's changing, dude. My son, I was looking at Lucas. He's got a little bit of a mustache. It's
because there's so many hormones in the fucking food. You realize that?
Yeah, it's brutal. Get 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com with code BETTER.
But they shouldn't be canceled, Paul.
Hold on. I lost you. What'd you say? I have a delay.
I said, but they shouldn't be canceled.
No. What? No, of course not.
No, they're just putting fucking animal hormones into the fucking whatever the fuck they're doing, the food that children are eating.
You got some 5-year-old kid with a fucking nest over his fucking sack. Yes.
Manscaped, the gift to give your prepubescent, how do you say it, 5-year-old. All right, go ahead.
Manscaped's best-selling product is the Performance Package 4.0. which is the top of every man's wish list this year. The dads can't stop talking about this. The teens secretly buy this.
And one more guy talks to me about shaving his nuts. I swear to God, Paul.
We'll love you for it. Now, these are our picks for Manscaped's Surefire Win Stocking Stuffers. Number one, the 2-in-1 shampoo conditioner just launched. Kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Number two, the Manscaped cologne. Ooh, that got me excited. I'm not going to lie. Anytime I hear cologne, I get excited. Infused body wash. Three, the Shears 2.0 luxury 4-piece nail kit. And four, the crop mops. Okay. Ball wipes for your stanky balls. My balls aren't stanky, but anyway, Manscaped.
What do you need cologne for?
Yeah, right. These formulas are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know your products are legal. And while you're at it, get 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com with code BETTER. Whether this is your partner, your dad, your brother, your friend, get them something that they will actually use, and it's almost sure to get a laugh. Get 20% off of free shipping at manscaped.com with code BETTER. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped.
All right. It's Solo Stove. You know, you got a stove and you need a friend to light it. You don't need that problem anymore. We got Solo Stove. You know, there's nothing quite like the feeling of gathering around a warm fire on a cool evening. And a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove makes your outdoor moments even more memorable. Because instead of having to constantly dodge the campfire fumes, you can sit back, relax, and enjoy the fire. With Solo Stove's Cyber Monday sale, you can get a great deal on a Solo Stove fire pit. Upgrade your backyard with the Solo Stove fire pit. Enjoy the mesmerizing flames. What are they doing, Paul? They're dancing all around like the thoughts in your head. And all the opportunities to create more good moments and lasting memories. Make the time with your friends and family richer with the Solo Stove fire pit. Solo Stove fire pits are brilliantly engineered. You know, world leaders, if they all sat around a Solo Stove.
It makes me feel like a guy cooking alone, though. Just alone.
Well, it's not really a stove. You should see it, Paul. It's actually beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fucking beautiful. It's like this wedding ring with flames coming out of it.
Wow.
Solo Stove fire pits are brilliantly engineered. Listen to this, Paul. This is brilliant.
Okay.
It's made with premium grade 304 stainless steel. I mean, come on. And 360 degree airflow system that maximizes the efficiency while minimizing the smoke. You're getting all the heat, Paul, without the smoke.
Did you say 3.4?
304 stainless steel.
Wow.
I mean, that's up there, Paul.
That's up there, dude. You know, that's okay. Not 2.0.
That's like one of them fucking, 304, Paul, 304.
Ah, even better.
Yeah, like if you threw for those yards every fucking week, you'd be on the Pro Bowl. Easy to light with a few bits of stada. Your fire is blazing in minutes. Perfectly portable. Paul, you can take Solo Stove with you on camping trips and more. Dude, we should have brought that fucking thing to Lambo. Shop Solo Stove's best deals ever during their Cyber Monday sale. Now through December 5th and get $10 off with the promo code BETTER, BETTER, plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. Just go to solostove.com and get $10 off when you use the promo code BETTER. I don't care what kind of fight you get into with your wife. You go out there and you crank that thing up. You give her a little glass of wine. Huh?
Then what could she say? Nothing.
Nothing until tomorrow. But you got that night to yourself.
Guess what, everybody? It's Paint Your Life. Imagine I just sang it. If you're looking for a special gift for something, sorry. If you're looking for a special gift for somebody this holiday season.
I like that idea.
What, singing one? We'll do that on one. Yeah, we'll do it on Christmas.
You should have gone a little more crooner. If you're looking for a special gift for someone this holiday season.
Something truly unique and personal.
Yeah, this is the big intro. My kind of town, right? They always started slow, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, this could only happen with Paint Your Life, and only happen in a garage like this. Da-da-da. Where the fuck is my fucking wife? She doesn't do shit. Sorry, go.
We've got a great idea for you.
For you.
At paintyourlife.com, you can
paint your fucking life. Sorry.
Dude, I'll fucking do the whole thing. At paintyourlife.com, you can have original painting by world-class artists done by hand from any photo at an affordable price. It is actually pretty cool what they do. With Paint Your Life's compilation portraits, you can bring together family members who never had the chance to meet. Get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price, or create a portrait of a family member without the need for everyone to be there for a family photo. Here's the process. You choose from a team of world-class artists. You
know, Joseph Stalin would have loved this.
Yeah. Take him out. We don't need.
He doesn't exist anymore.
Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. You can order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. Quick and easy process. Get hand-painted portrait in about 3 weeks. meaningful, personal. What the fuck was that? Meaningful, personal, and can be cherished forever. Makes a perfect holiday gift for somebody you love or for yourself. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risks if you don't love the final painting. Your money is refunded, guaranteed, guys. See, there you go. No risk. And right now, for a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. Get this offer. Text word better to 64000. That's 64,000. That's better to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Bill, if you were a singer, what would be your genre? I couldn't see you going hip hop. What would your genre be? Would you go rock? Sing. What?
Rappers don't sing.
Well, if you were a musician, I should say then. I'll rephrase
the question. Rappers use that auto tune.
I think, unfortunately, so do singers right now, which is fucking brutal.
I think a lot of people do, but I'm just saying. But singers are still singers. Singers can't rap either. They try to. And rappers try to sing. They both try to. They just won't stay in their own fucking lane. It's like, they listen, try to I mesh. Sing. I yeah. sing, and then you come in and do the guesty fucking rap thing, right? Or you rap, and then I come in and do the guesty, and I fucking sing the hook.
Well, I'm a little younger than you, but when I was coming up listening to rap, it was the rapper, the true rapper. Like, it would be like Method Man, and then Method Man would have a singer do his hook. Yeah, and it would be that. Now they do try to collaborate it with...
Ghetto Superstar. That is what you are. And then they go back into the rapping.
Yeah, exactly. That was Maya. And was it old Dirty Bastard? No.
No, that was Mariah Carey. Mariah, go back like babies with pacifiers. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, his son looks, rest his soul. His son is touring with Wu-Tang, and it's him. It's a young Old Dirty, it's him. Same hair, looks like him, comes out crazy. It's bizarre, dude. It is him. We saw them do, me and Sal went to see them do the 36 Chambers reunion, their first album reunion.
Oh, wow, that must have been great.
Dude, it was nuts, but it was funny. Like, a couple of them were like heavy, sitting down. It was hilarious.
Like hot one, hot two, hot three, hot. Old Dirty Bastard, live and uncut. Do they start... They croon it at this point.
One of them, there's like 12 of them. One of them was like
Jacques
really
Cousteau
big.
Could never get this low. I love that album.
No, dude, he just sat on a speaker rapping, and everybody knew he was just too big and tired. Nobody cared, but it was the first time I saw a guy just resting while in a concert.
I never understood how Wu-Tang ever made any money. You'd see him live, and there was like 90 of them with those extra large T-shirts with the towel. And it was just like, all right, so you're playing outside. All right, you're probably walking with 30 grand. There's 90 of you had to pay for the fucking.
I think there's 12 of them. Andrew, can you look that up?
I thought there was nine.
I'm gonna list as many as I know. Ready? So there's the RZA, the GZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Method Man, Capadonna was one of them. Raekwon the Chef, Ghostface Killer.
Now I'm done. I don't know anybody else after that.
All right, so that's eight.
Inspector Deck.
Yes, Inspector Deck.
Yes,
nice.
Look at me. You thought nice. I was really white. I'm only kind of white.
Inspector Deck is kind of a dope name. That's nine. Who else are we missing?
You forgot Master Killer.
See, Master Killer, I feel like wasn't always.
And You God.
And You God. Okay.
And Capadonna didn't become an official member till later on.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought for some reason I thought he was like a solo guy, but I
was. And that was ODB that was with Maya. That was Maya.
Oh, so dude, the GZA, Liquid Swords, when they all went separate, and Method Man did his, and Raekwon and Ghostface, the GZA, Liquid Swords was fucking nuts. Maybe my favorite one. And then when we were in high school, the big argument was Wu-Tang or Tribe. And we would be at parties, at keg parties, and it would just be guys screaming at each other. Oh, fuck you. And it was like Tribe Called Quest or Wu-Tang Clan, because that was right in, you know, 90, 96, 97. And that was like, they were both like here, you know, because that was like, dude, it's crazy. I didn't even realize.
How about when Kiss all did their solo albums? Which one did you like best, Paul?
Kiss? I like the Paul Stanley's best.
You just pulled that out of your ass.
Yeah, I did, but I had you for a second.
No, I never really listened to that band either.
No.
I thought they did the song Beth, but I think that was, or is that, was that song Alice Cooper? Beth, what can I do? It's this really sad fucking ballad.
Yeah, that's Kiss.
That is Kiss?
Yeah.
Bill, did you like that? Was your generation into that grunge Seattle shit like Pearl Jam and Nirvana and that or no?
Not my friends. No, like we came up, there's two sides of Gen X. There's the metal side. And then there's, the post Nirvana, Nirvana and on. I mean, I love Jane's Addiction. I love that. Like, dude, I just listened to that. Went on a hike. I listened to that Ritual album front to back. I mean, that album is a fucking masterpiece. But like, you know, I came out of the 80s. The 80s, nothing but a good time. I mean, it was all just fucking, yeah, just having a fucking good time. And then all the Seattle guys came in like, ugh, I don't feel so good. And I don't like being a rock star. Ugh. And it was just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, we all have problems too. I wouldn't dump my fucking day on you. But I understand you had to kind of like push back. I was like you.
The older I get, dude.
Easily amused. That was one of the most condescending fucking lines ever. I'm like, am I nuts or is this guy calling me a fucking moron? Oh, wow, look at that shiny thing, Kurt. Oh, I wish I was like you. All right. You know, I like going to the malls. I like tap on solos. I'm sorry. I guess I am easily amused.
Yeah, I think the older I get, I actually see what people like the Nirvana more. I didn't like it before. But I thought
I love Nirvana.
Nirvana's was pretty fucking good, man.
No,
I
do, but I can deal without all the fucking whining. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll tell you, band that's underrated, not talked about enough. Def Leppard, not talked about enough.
I got to tell you, those the High and Dry and Photograph.
Dude, Photograph and that dude, those guys were the shit, man. That drummer with one arm.
Well, he didn't have one arm on though. He got a he between that tour and the Hysteria one.
But I mean, to keep going, one fucking arm as a drummer,
and his band to keep him on was fucking amazing. Yeah,
dude, that's,
and they still wrote happy songs. And then these fucking grunge guys come in with all their limbs, and they were just fucking just gloom and doom. They just brought Seattle weather to everybody. See, the metal bands were down in the LA sunshine, Peroxide Blood, and all
dude,
that
I'm downloading Def Leppard shit today. Think I give a fuck? I'll put that right on the top of my list. I'll rock that in my car right now. My Lexus is going to be pumping Leppard the next 2 days in my neighborhood. How you like that?
Rick Allen is drumming on High and Dry and on Photograph. I mean, he just was like, he had his own fucking thing going on, and he was playing traditional grip.
I get hysterical.
Nah, that's hysteria. Fuck, that was for the chicks. Pour some sugar on me. That's where they lost me.
When they did Pour Some Sugar, their hair got a little more poofy. Like they got a little more like.
No, they always. I thought Joe Elliott's a fucking man. That guy was like drinking like Bon Scott level.
You know what?
Those
I really
guys
started,
boozed,
dude. That guy. You know what he said? He's doing the commercials for Virgin Australia. First class, and he's like, oh, you get a, he was just talking, he goes, you get a full room with massage, you're drinking, the guy just sold me. I was like, this guy knows how to live.
Oh, Joe Elliott?
Yeah, he's talking
about
that
guy. Those guys are all, I loved all of those guys. I'm not gonna lie to you, Soundgarden, I mean, for me, that's Jane's Addiction and Soundgarden. I loved them. Alice in Chains, I loved. And then I just feel like it just became, rap went mainstream. I was listening to Wu-Tang.
Did you listen to Biggie? Did you listen to Biggie and
Patrice was I remember being at Tower Record in Newbury Street. And he goes, you got the shit yet? And I go, you know, it's like, no, I have not gotten that shit yet. And he goes, you should get that. So I had that on cassette tape, the original one. I don't know where the hell it was, but it is now. But then they ended up taking it back because Puffy didn't get the rights to a lot of those samples, or the laws changed. I don't know what happened. So then the album went away for a minute. Now it's back. I think they just paid everybody. But yeah, I was a 100% Biggie guy.
Dude. New York, but you know who else, dude? Queens, New York. Queens, New York, getting Tribe Called Quest, Run DMC, Hollis, Queens, 50 Cent.
LL Cool J was from there?
I think, yeah, if you look at the guys...
You're out of my element here.
No, I'm just saying, if you look at the guys, the hip-hop guys from Run DMC, almost to like present day, Jamaica, Queens, 50 Cent, a lot of guys came out of that borough who like really, really, I mean, of course you got like Staten Island and Brooklyn, but dude, Queens has like real deep roots in hip hop.
Wait, Staten Island has a lot of rappers. The only guy I ever heard from there, I thought, was Method Man. I remember that shit.
Why did where you live? I still to this day don't understand why where you lived or where you were born was like part of the.
You guys started that shit. I think New Yorkers started that shit. It was the battle between the boroughs, and then you guys just went out in the world and just acted like everybody should give a fuck.
We got to look into that. I don't know about that because I know like Oakland guys would be like, yo, Oak Town. And there was a lot of that shit.
There was no Oak Town growing up.
Are you sure? Like, all right. I mean, I didn't know who started.
Guys from Brooklyn. Oh, anytime you meet a guy from Brooklyn, you're going to know he's from Brooklyn and he's going to tell it to you within the first 30 seconds. What time is it? Well, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm from Brooklyn. It's 9:30. It's like, I didn't need to know that you're from Brooklyn. I get it.
This one comedian goes, you could be anywhere in the world and be like, yo, where's Brooklyn? Because you could be on the moon. And one guy go.
That's going to go away, though. That's going to go away, dude, because I know some of the fucking whitest dudes ever. And they are fucking, where do you live?
And that's why I hate the Barclays Center.
They're saying that they fucking live at these places that, like, I used to hear on people using references on, like, Eddie Murphy on Comedian or some of the rap or some of the Tyson story, Brownsville and shit like this, that, like, I don't even know where those are. And I just remember going, like, man, if I went there, I would get the fucking shit kicked out of me. That's all you heard. I remember Eddie Murphy's album. I was on Bushwick and something or else, and the whole crowd in the early 80s in New York went, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
And now I knew that one of the whitest dudes ever. Where do you live? I live off of Bushwick.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you go to the fucking Barclays Center and they're going Brooklyn. It's a kid in a fucking yarmulke. The fuck out of here, dude. No, dude. It's
yeah. The Knicks fan. It's coming back to that. It's coming back to shitting on the Nets.
No, I'm just saying, fuck these Williamsburg people wearing Biggie. Where Brooklyn at? It's like Biggie was a Knicks fan. Biggie was a Knicks fan. Listen, Biggie would never turn that. I mean, I can't say definitively, but Biggie was a Knicks fan.
I would like to think he wouldn't.
Dude, I'll tell you, a diehard Knicks fan who's unforgiving. Dude, Tracy Morgan is courtside at the Knicks. He wore a chain that I have to say was one of the most ridiculous things in a bad way as far as gaudy. He wore a chain, Bill. Picture a cucumber around the neck. Mr. T never wore shit like this. Right. It was literally, it looked like a cucumber thing. And he just sit there. He pulls it off though. Like for me, it's too much and gaudy. Tracy pulled it off, but he goes nuts. He starts talking to players. Yeah, that's right. He goes nuts, dude. I love it. He sits near Spike. He goes fucking nuts. Oh God.
Spike goes crazy. Spike goes in and it looks like he buys up the whole gift shop before the game.
Spike, I think, almost got kicked out. Spike runs up to he knows all the officials. He'll literally start arguing like a coach. He'll start stomping his feet. He's like next to the coach, too. It looks like he's an assistant.
They should get him a little suit. A little suit and a clipboard. Honorary assistant coach.
Dude, Tracy Morgan pulls off the biggest chain ever. I got to show you a picture. I can't go that gaudy, dude. I can't go much more than what I
You know talent, right? Comedian talent?
I love talent. So funny.
I sent him a text the other day. I said, what is what is Richard Nixon and the New York Knicks both have in common? They both resigned after 1973.
What did he say?
He laughed, said I was childish. Because what he does, he's a Knicks fan, that guy.
Yeah.
But then he sort of watches the other shit. He goes, I'm a New York sports fan. He doesn't give a fuck if the Knicks, or I mean, not the Knicks, I'm sorry, if the Yankees and the Mets, the Giants and the Jets. He goes, I'm a New York sports fan. So all he does is wait for a Boston team. You guys are like splitting aces, you know, you're doubling down in every sport. So he just waits for somebody to fucking beat one of my teams, and then he gives me shit. So I go out of my way to trash the Knicks. Death, taxes, and hopeful Knick fans in November.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, we have to win to get that stink off of us.
Paul, I'm not trying to bring you down. I like the Knicks.
No. We have to win to get that stink off of us. It's just something that it's.
Oh, you're talking to a Celtics fan. We know all about winning. Don't ever do that again.
What do you mean? You guys know what it's like to not win for a long time.
No, we don't.
What are you talking about? The Red Sox didn't win for a long time.
I'm talking the Celtics.
Oh, yeah. No, the Celtics are a winner.
Celtics don't you dare say that. What are you going to say next? That fucking MSG's a basketball mecca? People come from around the world to gather there to beat the Knicks' ass. The world's most famous arena.
Yeah. Dude, I can't even defend that. It's like,
and it's not fun.
It's all the right. place
I
where
just feel
it's
like
the
I'm
place...
knocking ice cream out of your hand.
No,
sorry.
It's the place where fucking Jordan came and Reggie came and LeBron came and Kobe came and everybody goes and gets their 50-point game at the Garden against us. And I can't deny it. But Bill, I'm going to tell you this right now, and for all you listeners, just know this: the day that we win, the day that we hoist that up.
How old do you think you'll be? What's the over-under, Paul?
I
want action on this right now. I got $100, Paul. And I will take the over.
I think that the Knicks within 8 years will be champs.
I got 100 on it.
All right. I think within 8 years we'll be champs. You got 100 on it?
I got five on it. That was the one, right? From the early 90s?
We got
$100 on that.
And we still have a $200 bet that you're going
to
do.
Paul, I swear to God, if I have to fucking pay you that 100, I'm going to make sure I buy a box of Kleenex to go with it because you're going to be sobbing. You're a man of your word. I can't believe they find it. You are going to fucking cry, Paul, like Josh Adam Myers when the Capitals won the fucking Stanley Cup.
Dude, me, Jerry Ferrara, and my son, and, you know, Petey. Pete Davidson, huge Knicks fan. A lot of my friends, Sam Morrell. There's like five of us who truly give a fuck.
I don't know. I'd have to see those last two. I'm not saying they're not, but I got to, Paul, you every October. 3, 2, 1. Hello. Dude, have you seen what the Knicks have been doing? Like, I have never seen somebody get so excited after three fucking games in my life. It's actually painful to watch because I love you as a friend and to just watch you.
I know.
Dude, they're passing the ball? Who's that Asian kid, dude? You almost fainted.
Oh, Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin. When Jeremy Lin came around, oh, my God, dude. Like, you were on the phone every fucking night, and I was just sitting there going, like, please, God, just like get him to the Eastern Conference Finals, which I think they might have. I don't understand why that guy was so fucking amazing. Were they not using him the same way in Houston?
Dude, it was really weird. He would drive to the hole and do a crazy move. It would go in. He hit a fucking game winner at the buzzer, like on his 12th game of being on this run. And the coach just goes, like his coach, like nobody. And then once he got traded, he kind of turned into just like this media. He just went on this magical thing, dude. I don't know. God bless him for it, but, you know, I'm putting that onto Lucas now. unfortunately, not unfortunately, my son likes the Knicks maybe more than me, which is because of me. But I said to Lucas, I go, Lucas, what are you going to do if they win? And my son just goes, oh, Dad. like it, you don't understand the elation. Like, Stacy doesn't talk to me. I put my hood on last night. You want to laugh? We're down 110, 107. There's 13 seconds left, 10 seconds left. We inbounds it, hit a three. I go, ho. And Stacy just was shopping and she looked. I got off the couch, put my hood on, and stood like this in front of the TV. I mean, Bill, I want this. Like, you don't understand.
The hood on is sort of passive, like, don't fucking talk to me.
Yeah. She knows. She knows. When the Knicks are on, we have an unwritten marriage rule in the marriage. When the Knicks are on, there's no chores. I'll do anything after. I was like, I got to do the cat litter. I'll do it halftime. You know, but until then, no talking. There's just, you know.
Yeah.
What out of all your teams, out of your Red Sox and your Patriots and your Celtics, which do you yell at the TV the most or pace around the most, give a fuck the most, truly in your heart?
Oh.
Gun to your head. Like, who's your baby, man? Who's your baby, Bill? Because there's definitely one.
There isn't, because, Paul, you do have to understand that I don't think it's ever been acknowledged. Is you have to understand that the Bruins,
their number one rivalry
is the Montreal Canadiens, okay, who are the most successful franchise.
No, right? I was at that game with you. Yeah, we went to that game in Montreal.
Right, and then the Celtics were going up against the Lakers, the two fucking behemoths of the league. So those games are like, you know, Michigan, Ohio State in two different sports. And then we got the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So the Red Sox and the Bruins were the doormats to the Yankees and Montreal the whole time I was growing up. The Celtics actually owned the Lakers until right in the 80s, the Lakers started coming back and they won five and we won three in the 80s, right? And then they fucking bought a bunch after that. That's, you know, whatever. Mobbed up refs, you know, and then, which isn't their fault, but it is what it is. And then the Patriots were like, it's like we weren't even in the league. Like, our fucking stadium was a joke. Like, there was like high school teams in Texas had a stadium, like the Schaefer Stadium, Sullivan Stadium, Patriots Stadium, that fucking thing. Yeah. And then, you know, the Sullivans. It's just one of those things, like the Patriots. I remember when the Patriots won their first Super Bowl. I was like, I would have thought the Red Sox would have won a World Series before that they would win it. I got to the point, I didn't think the Bruins were ever going to win the Cup, because when we finally got by the Canadiens, we beat them. Those fucking Edmonton teams were just juggernauts. I have to be honest with you. Like, I can barely watch the big dude, the Pats versus fucking Rex Ryan and the Jets. Like, I mean, when we lost that playoff game to them, oh my God.
Do you stay quiet? Do you stay quiet? Like, it is true though. When you love the Big Four, and the Big Four meaning basketball, baseball, football, and hockey, one of your children is going to be two or doctors. You know, like Yankees were doctors. The Giants was a lawyer. The Knicks are just still at home taking bong hits, getting yelled at by his parents, never getting the shit together. That was the Patriots for a while until you have this legendary run.
That was everybody but the Celtics when I was growing up. Everybody was still living at home. And then the Celtics were the Celtics was like the fucking
paying
the
bills. He
was like the guy that just married some loser chick and had a couple of fucking kids. And then he was just out there having to put the whole thing on his back. That's what the Celtics were. But, you know, I was just reading about that trade, the Joe Barry Carroll trade. We traded that pick to the Golden State Warriors. We got Robert Parrish and a pick that turned into Kevin McHale. And then everybody gave Joe Barry Carroll shit. His nickname became Joe Barely Cares. But you look at his stats. The guy was an all-star. You know, he didn't play that long. But I don't know. He got a ton of shit. You know, it's just one of those things. He was one of those guys. He got way more shit than he should have. There was a guy, Charles White, that came out of the USC, had a drug habit, was able to get past it, had two all-pro seasons, and nobody ever talks about that. You know, rushed for 1,000 yards, I think, one season.
So what is, I got one for you. This is a great thing to talk about on this podcast. 44, by the way, guys, 44, going into a little bit of overtime here. I want to thank all the listeners. Please, please continue to rate and review Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you get podcasts. We truly appreciate it. We have new merch coming out. You can be able to go to the merch store. You'll be able to get hoodies, t-shirts. The new design is incredible. Thank you guys for that. I got one for you, Bill. Out of every moment that's given you joy in your sports world, what's your favorite moment where you could have cried in joy? Is it, I mean, I guess the easy guess would be, is it when the, you guys won the World Series, or do you have another moment?
Oh, yeah, that was definitely up there. Yeah, I'd probably say the Red Sox run was so magical just because it was so long. Yeah, I would say that, it was probably
one.
Finally beating the Yankees, celebrating.
The way you did, Yankee too. Stadium. 0-3, coming back from
0-3. 0-4. 0-3 was the usual.
No. You were down 0-3.
Down 0-3, yeah.
And then you came back and you won 4. The Yankees ran out of days. We'll get them tomorrow. That's what we kept saying. We'll get them tomorrow. We'll get them. I know, dude. It's 3-1. Of course they're going to win one. I know. It's 3-2. The guy stole the base. It just – and then the nightmare hit when Damon hit that dude. When my buddies
first
went.
First inning, Grand Slam. I was driving into Universal Park. I just pitched a show, and that was the closest sports bar. And I was driving up that hill screaming with on the radio.
Hopelessness. My buddy got tickets, and I go, dude, I didn't go. And the hopelessness in my gut when Damon turned on it, I actually see the hit now. I visualize it vividly now. When that shit went up there, when he did that, and we went down, whatever it was, 4-0. And
I'll never forget the silence in Yankee Stadium.
Dude, it was silence.
That was the place.
Bars.
Who's your daddy? All of that. 1918. Everybody was
bars,
shut up.
Homes. People were like, dude, it was a sickening. Then you started like reaching out to people going like, all right, dude, at least it's the first inning. Dude, it was that. You want to talk about shot heard around the world? That was a bullet shot to the fucking head, dude.
I know. And then you guys all ran for cover afterwards. No, I'm happy for you guys. Yeah, I'm happy. Like everybody, all the Yankee fans that I knew that had been rubbing my face. And I remember even Regis Philbin was going, all right, you know, you want it. Okay, let it go. It's like you guys have been chanting 1918 in our fucking faces. You're going to get a little shit for this.
Well, my favorite moment hasn't happened yet. But when here's my dream. Can I just tell you my dream? I just want to put my dream on episode.
You can't
40.
Tell me the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots in the fucking Super Bowl.
The Giants, I'll tell you the two moments. The Giants beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl when Burris was open like that and I thought there was a flag and there wasn't that one. But I got to tell you, the other one was beating the Mets in the World Series. Dude, beating the Mets.
I was jokingly going to bring that up. I was going to say Clemens, you know, breaking Piazza's bat.
No. You got to understand the friends that I had, the shit talk. I had friends going, go position by position. We got Ray Ordonez. He's there with Jeter. He's right there with dude. And we would be in bars going,
we got Benji Molina.
Dude, we would get it. Yeah. Beating that team at Shea. I mean, dude, that was like, I remember Joe Torre going, I thought my job was, he goes after, because, you know, Steinbrenner cared about beating them more than anybody. It was like, you got to beat the Mets. It was the Mets and the Red Sox, but he wanted to be the team in New York. He was like, there's no Mets. It's just us. And when they did it, Torre goes, it was like pure nirvana. That's what he said. He goes, it was done. He goes, we did it. And then he goes, and then a couple of years later, it's like, my job is on the line again. But like, beating the Mets, and yes, Burris catching the ball to beat the undefeated Patriots, but nothing will be what my dream is. And what my dream is it's 100-100.
That's amazing to me because the Mets-Yankees series was just such a foregone conclusion and boring. I was just going, they're not going to fucking beat these guys.
No, because the way that New York – you got to understand, dude, there's a passion.
I was living there during the time, and I mean, maybe hatred. I was outside of it.
No, the hatred the Mets had of us and the talking was it. But, dude, it's 100-100 at Madison Square Garden. It's game 7 of the NBA Finals, and we are playing either. Who's a team that I fought? Probably I would say the Lakers, God willing, with LeBron.
You guys have a rival? That's a no.
The Miami Heat were for a while in the East.
Yeah, that was a great rivalry.
The Miami Heat were, but dude.
Dude, there were so many tough motherfuckers. Alonzo Mourning.
What about, what's his name? What about the Pacers? The Pacers was a rivalry. Oh, no, here you go. The Bulls. The Chicago Bulls were a rivalry. For years. For right. fucking years. But Bill? Oh, Bill.
In the last 20.
Who?
I'm asking in the last 20. It hasn't. That's what sucks, dude. That's why it's like.
There's not a known. It's almost like that. It's like an era rival. We have era rivals. We don't have the known rival. Like the
but
Celtics
the thing is,
have the Lakers.
Both teams have to be good for it to be. That's what was so funny about the Reds. But the Red Sox had the decency to almost get there, I guess. But I mean, as far as like looking at it, I guess, well, I mean, a rivalry doesn't really depend on success. It just makes you, because you look at Michigan, I mean, they lost 9 years in a row, have lost almost every year this century to Ohio State. And they still fucking hate each other. Ohio State still gives a shit.
I wish we had that. I wish we had that. But you got to let me you got to let me just tell you the dream. You got to let me tell you the dream.
Sorry.
Just so I could put it into. I just want to put it into the world. I just want to put it out there. I just want to. I want to put this into existence.
You
Jim Carrey
up to the heavens.
It's 100. It's 100-100, and the Knicks are at home at the Garden. Everybody is standing nervous. Game 7. LeBron's on the Lakers. Let's just throw that in there because that would give me nothing but bliss. And who would do it? Who would hit the jumper on this team now? I would say either Emmanuel Quickly or like Alec Burks, just a sharpshooter, comes around the corner. 3-2. Lets it go. The fucking buzzer goes off. It falls in. I know what the Garden feels like when that happens in a big moment. If that happened, that's my dream. That would be, I would probably collapse. I would collapse in my son's arms and start crying. I'm so glad we saw this together. Dude, I would be, I'd start hugging strangers. Dude, I'm not joking around. I might kiss a stranger on the cheek. I'm being dead serious.
Right, you're not going to want to know the vision that I just thought of.
What?
I was picturing when they finally win it. Remember when Marlon Brando's character was all old running around the Garden and that kid was shooting the fucking bug spray at him? I'm picturing you shuffling around in like Nick's slippers. Paul, come in. They're going to do it. What? Oh, come. Hit pause.
I hope I'm not that old. God, I hope I'm not that old. But, dude, Josh Adam
Lucas
Myers.
Has glasses.
I had to say to Josh Adam Myers, I go, Josh, were you fucking with people? I said, dude, were you like trying to like be dramatic? Dude, Josh Adam Myers crying when the Capitals won. He literally was like this. Dude, I was like, dude, are you fucking with me? I thought he was joking, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he had too many onions in his crab cakes that day. I don't know. Dude, the best one ever was when we were in that casino. We bet that soccer game, one of the World Cup games, just because we like, we have to give a fuck about this. Let's put some money on it. You, me, and Bartnick were just sitting there with money, and we thought we were going to win the bet, as always, right?
Algeria versus Germany, we bet, yeah.
Oh, my God, right? We bet Germany, and I forget Germany didn't cover something?
No. We bet Algeria to win because on 100, you won 800. And they almost.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All I remember was they cut to the crowd. Was it an Algerian dude or were they going around the league with highlights?
No. You're talking, they were going around the league with highlights and Argentina lost to Brazil.
Oh, and they cut to the crowd of an Argentinian fan and he was just standing there, this old guy, and he just went. He started crying like that. Dude, we were fucking howling. I mean, that's literally what he
that's not an exaggeration. He actually like he lost control. Dude, it was like, yeah. I mean, I've never given
what kind of cry is that? That's not sobbing.
No, you said it's like bubbling. It's like
blubbering. You saw his shoulder. He's fucking. But I never what was great was they held it on him before when he was holding it together, and then he just couldn't hold it in anymore.
Oh, dude, Andrew, you could find that. Andrew, find Argentinian fan crying after Brazil beats him, dude.
Dude, I got to give a shout out to fans of anything in South America, because how much they go off at MotoGP, Formula One, rock concerts, and soccer. Let's be respectful. We'll call it football, what they call it. Like those fans, like when I saw AC/DC live in South America, they were in Argentina. I was like, oh my God, they must be like bored shitless when they come to the States.
Is this in 2014-ish?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, hang on.
Oh, please tell me this is it.
Oh my God. If you find this is the greatest search I've ever. I don't know how I would ever find this.
Oh man.
But dude, fans down in South America, like they go fucking. They were in there was people in line to go to the AC/DC concert crying, saying they changed my life. And I was just like, wow, man, I thought I was an AC/DC fan.
That's why I'm never taking my kids to any soccer game like that or anything out of the country, dude, because I'm not getting my kids trampled. Fuck that, man. That shit, when I see soccer games and they're all going, oh, and the fucking thing is rocking, I want that actually scares me. I want no part of that.
That's funny, but you'll go to an American one with a bunch of fucking animals.
If I have a seat and I'm in the loge, I like a suite.
They have that there. They got loge seats.
Did you find it, Andrew?
Dude, I went to a Premier League game, Arsenal versus Everton. And I remember Arsenal was up 1-0. They started singing this song, 1-0 Arsenal. What's the matter? What?
Fuck you. Oh, dude, I'll share this with you and the fans. Today was my son's first cuts of making the basketball team for junior high school. And me and Stacy have been talking to him and going at him, and I've been sending him motivational stuff. And he just texted me and he said, shot the lights out, made it. And then he just said, I made 4 threes, jumped out for loose ball, played defense. Oh my God, dude. My son made 4 threes in a scrimmage today. Yeah, boy. Yeah,
that's fucking great, dude. That's fucking awesome.
Fuck yeah, dude. Oh, I could cry. Oh. See, I got to share this.
Could you cry like this guy?
Oh, Andrew Demlis for three.
This guy? Is this the guy?
I don't know,
but he's got the right look, though.
Let's see.
He's going to. No. Wait. I mean, dude. These people are devastated. A woman, you understand. They cry over everything. It's when you see a guy.
He's. No, they got to show the guy bubbling, dude.
I bet he's the closer. these guys, they're the greatest sports fans on the planet. Like the level.
No, dude. They said that beating Brazil meant everything to them. Oh, dude, they got kids in trees and shit.
No, that's nothing, dude. You got to get the guy.
Dude, look at those people, though, dude. They look like they're looking at a comet ready to fucking kill Earth.
The kids still clapping, still staying. Look at that. Oh my God.
Have you given
up? Oh, there he goes. Like, there he goes. And it's totally acceptable. I bet you think men live longer down there because it's okay to cry and get it out of you? Instead of throwing a remote, you actually just sit there and go, they start fucking bawling.
Have you cried? Have you cried over any sporting event in your life?
A sporting event?
Have you cried or teared up over any sporting event in your life?
No.
Me neither. You just can't.
Look, if they've done like a 30 for 30 about what somebody went through and you build it like that, but I've never just watched a game and a guy missed a field goal.
I take that back. When the Knicks lost game 7 to the Rockets, I was in my friend's room and he had this big Lego thing set up, the Lego thing. And I went, fucking, I punched it. And I went, what the fuck? And I saw Ewing in the thing talking, And he was like, we thought we had it. I saw you. I started to get like, I didn't cry, but I just got real like, fuck, man. Like, we had it.
You broke your Legoland?
Was it like this? Was it like this guy?
All right.
Oh, come on. Oh, no.
Oh my God.
No, but.
I think it's the next guy. It might be.
Wait.
It's not. Oh, it's this guy. I think it is this guy.
They're just doing it on a loop, though. They got to get him going.
They're doing the quick loop. It is. That's the guy, 100%. But like they showed it. They just have a loop. He broke down. Oh, dude. These poor people, man. These fucking poor people, man.
Fuck that. They're beautiful people, man. They're diehards, dude. It's no joke down there, man. It is no fuck. They go all in. That whole continent down there, man. They're some of the greatest fans on the planet. Dude, I'm telling you, that level of emotion they'll have at a rock concert, a fucking if who was the guy? Was it Cena? Was he a Brazilian driver?
Senna,
is that what the guy's name?
Seneca.
I don't know. Yeah, Seneca. They would fucking, that guy would win. They would be crying that the guy won a fucking car race.
Dude, I mean, remember
AC/DC, they're amazing, amazing fans.
Bill's like, Verzi, we're going to do a show in Montreal and then we're going to go to see the Formula One. And we're watching the Formula One. We're sitting there. We're all there. We're having a good time. After like 20 laps, I act like I see something, and I figured the whole sport out. I looked at Bill. I go, nobody's beating this kid. This is the best kid in the world. Nobody's beating this kid.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton. I mean, all this guy does is win. I'm like, Paul, you've literally been watching this sport for 25 minutes.
I go, nobody's beating this kid. This kid's
look at the guy. I mean, he's driving for Mercedes. He's got a nice helmet.
But then when we met Daniel Ricciardo, you were like, "Well, I'm rooting for that guy because he's like, you know."
Well, no, he was a Sicilian that lived in Australia from Australia. I was like, "Oh, I'm rooting for this kid."
But he had the Mediterranean vibe, Paul.
Did he had the smile?
He let those Aussie people drag him down. He still was. That guy was fucking loose. He was laughing.
He goes, "I'm Sicilian," and I was just like, "Well, I'm rooting for this guy." He came in third that day. Well, Daniel Ricciardo came in third for like, didn't he? After you started talking to me about all those, he came in third all the time with Red Bull, right?
Yeah, Red Bull couldn't get past the Ferraris and Mercedes for most of that time, and then he had like a falling out. Like I don't know, things went south, and he ended up driving for I want to say Renault or something like that.
Why don't they make the Formula One cars all equal and have the driver be the one that be, why? How could a Formula One car be faster than the next?
It's just the amount of money, put into because they are dealing with the same rules and regulations, but it just comes down to like money, I guess.
So it's like a baseball team having more of a payroll.
Yeah, like it's another thing too is that the cars are really wide and low now, so you don't get as much passing from what I've heard. Like back in the day, I gotta be honest with you, I started watching some classic Formula One races. It was fucking scary. Like they were like, I mean, anytime you do that shit, you're risking your life. But back then, like death was right there. Like people fucking died.
No, dude, that motorcycle shit you sent me. That was some shit that I was like, those guys going that fast, flying off of cliffs and shit, dude. Fuck, that was nuts.
Oh yeah, that's the TT race in the Isle of Man. But no, but like MotoGP, dude. You watch clips of races from the 70s and 80s, and it's just like they're just wearing leathers. That's all they got, and they're just flying around. And that was like, you know, as you know, it's just like aviation. They learn every time somebody dies. So just the way they had the track set up. In all types, when I watch those old races, like, because I don't know what's going to happen. I'm on the edge of my seat. Like, people could really get fucked up. You could get burned up. Like, all kinds of crazy shit could happen to you. And, Formula One, they used to, in the 1950s, dude, they would be going down a straightaway, and the crowd was standing behind one yellow rope. And two cars would touch, and a guy would just go into the fucking crowd, and people would die. I mean, it was fucking bananas.
Wouldn't cars go airborne, too? Wouldn't cars go
airborne? There was one, a hood came off, spinning like a Chinese star, went down a road and decapitated like five fucking people. You're just sitting there and you hear, boom, you're like, oh, and then you look back and there's five people in front of you with like a sprinkler coming out of their neck.
What?
And the race still goes. Just keeps fucking going.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. There was a German driver. I think his nickname was Crash or something like that. There's videos of a lot of those. Not the they actually have the crash where the hood went into the crowd, but you can't see what happens. But he went airborne, and then he landed on those concrete barriers, dead on fire, in front of this whole crowd. There's like kids there, and he's just just on fire.
Oh, my God.
And, dude, when I say on fire, I mean on fire. Not like, you know, just his shoulder. Like, the guy was like, looked like a candle.
Oh, my God, dude.
So I read this amazing book called The Limit, which is what they're all going for, is they're driving at the absolute limit that they can, as fast as they can fucking drive that car around a track without dying. And back then it was without dying. So they were just holding it together. And everybody was trying to figure out a way to go just a little bit faster, just to get that edge.
What were the top speeds there, Bill? Like 210?
Back in the 50s? You know, I don't know. I would think it was still in the hundreds. But still, dude, I mean, Jesus Christ.
No, still, dude.
You fucking, can you imagine driving a car 80 miles an hour with a guy bumping into you and you're just sitting there with your fucking, from here up, just sticking out of the car? When the American got his first ride with Ferrari, it was about the, I forget the guy's fucking name. I only read the whole book. It was the first American, possibly the only American, I don't even know, that ever won the Formula One championship. We were considered inferior drivers. The technology over there was always like better because basically the geography is we have all this space over here. So our shit was like, I'll fucking do the quarter mile in fucking half a second, flying down, you know. Our designs were vulgar and their roads were made out of old cow paths. So there was all these tight turns and shit. So their suspension, their designs to this day, man, their designs are fucking incredible over there. So there was a driver when he got his first ride, the last driver died. And there was literally like a quarter size hole in the floorboards, but it's metal that was there. And he realized the reason why it was there, because the last guy got decapitated and they were washing the blood out. So, I mean, the doors are welded shut, so you just had to drain it out there. And it was so primitive back then that, you know, anybody else would have just for drag, would have covered that hole up. Or at least they hadn't at that point. And then it's like, all right, buddy, you're next.
Jesus.
And the dark humor of Ferrari was Enzo Ferrari, you know, when he found out a driver died, like the rumor was he would say, that's terrible, and then immediately ask, how's the car?
Wow.
Here's another great Italian thing for you, Paul.
Oof.
Like, you know, how you guys, you know, can find your way around some things there. So the reason why a lot of those Ferraris are so rare, you know, those ones those baby boomers pay like $10 million for, there's for some reason in racing, you were required, whatever car you were bringing to the track, you were required to build 100 that could actually be on the road for regular people. I don't know what the reason was.
That was a law?
Yeah, I forget what it was. So what Ferrari did was they're like, we're not fucking wasting our time hand building 100 of these. They just started the first one. They called number one was number 78. And then they would only make like 22. Where's number one? We can't file. We don't know. It's number 100. You know. Or they'd call, like, they'd make a number one, and then they'd make a number 13. You didn't have to have all 100 cars there. And they'd make, like, whatever. They'd only make a handful of them. So there was only going to be 100. And they made even way less than that. You know, a couple guys went out there and wrapped them around trees. So that's why they're so rare. And plus, not to mention that, they're absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous cars. So
this is 78. I don't know. They got stolen. They must have been stolen.
Now you shut up. You eat. Mange.
Oh, that was my Sicilian grandma. Mangia.
Yeah.
Come on, just
now, hey, you shut up and eat. That was the time I remember I took my wife to Little Italy and we sat down and this guy showed up. Really good looking guy, smoking hot wife, just had the whole fuck. You could tell the guy was just crushing it in life, right? One of those guys you just keep looking at him like going, wow, look at him. You start thinking about how great his life is and everything. So the waiter came up and it was one of those places where you didn't really order. They just fucking brought you out anything. And the guy was going, yeah, hey, you know, because the guy told all the special. I was thinking maybe blah, 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 blah. And he just goes like, ah, oh, yeah, yeah. And I forget what he did. He brought over a plate and he just sat it down. It wasn't what he ordered. He goes, now you shut up, you eat. And his wife fucking lost it. Absolutely fucking lost it. And you could tell, you know, but the guy laughed too. But I think he was just, you know, wives love to see that. They love to see another guy take their husband down a little bit. They don't want to see you lose. But, you know, animosity builds up in a relationship. I can tell you this. She fucking died laughing. She loved it. Now you shut up, you eat.
Does that annoy you? Yeah, I was wondering, does that annoy you if your wife does that? Like, I'm trying to think if it annoys me if she laughs at somebody taking a dig at me. Yeah, it bugs me.
It depends on the laugh. Yeah. I've had a couple of big fights with that. Now I don't give a fuck. You expect it.
I just I'll give a look and then it'll be a fight later. I'll be like, the fuck was, you know, what was that? You fuck, you know? And then afterwards I'll be like, are you fucking enjoyed that?
My wife said one time, she goes, hey, no, it's just funny to see people shut you up every once in a while.
You know what? Good for her for saying.
I actually laughed at that. I was like, all right, well, maybe I should fucking quit running my yap so much.
When Eddie Murphy, it's one of the greatest bits of Raw. When he goes, don't you ever disrespect Italians? He goes, don't you ever disrespect you? Fuck, I'll put this glass in your fuck. Don't you ever disrespect? And he said, everything's a question. He goes, what am I, an asshole?
Yeah.
What am I, a fucking asshole? It's so true. It's so true, dude.
No, that's awesome. All right, dude, we got to wrap this up because, you know, Paul, I have a little window here. I'm going to go smoke a stick.
I got to go hug my son, dude. I got to go find him, hug him, and I'm taking him out to dinner.
Did you tell him how proud Uncle Bill is?
I definitely will. I'll tell him.
You have no idea the adrenaline jolt I got the second you read, I shot the lights out. I was like,
he fucking
wrote that. Like, you know, you didn't see the game. You just checked the score and your team wins.
Dude. The kid knocks down threes from the corner like you do. John Wallace, NBA player. Dude, your shot is perfect. Chrissy D, who's got a record at St. Joseph's, goes, oh, that kid's got a jimmy. That kid's got a jimmy. He does, man. He's, you know, but so I'm going to go do that. But thank you guys so much for listening, for coming out to my shows at the Stress Factory, for everything. Paulie's off the clock as far as stand-up until January, but we're going to give you this show every week. That's pretty much it, right, Andrew? Go to the merch store, get our merch, and
off the clock, Paul. You know what? Next December, I want to be off the clock.
I'm doing this with my.
I'll go visit you.
I'm just clocking out after tomorrow night, and I'll be home. I told Stacy, I go, Stace, your husband's gonna be home for 30 days. She goes, God help me.
I know they get used to us being gone. All right, brother.
Man. Have a great one. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.